Parshas Shmos starts off Ve'ela Shmos Bnei Yisrael Boim Mitzrayim is Yaakov Ishu Ve'so Bo. These are the names of Bnei Yisrael that came down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov, each man and his house came down, and it goes through all the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, etc., etc., etc. Trying to understand something behind the scenes. So let's go all the way back. Adam and Chava sinned. I mean, you don't get much further than this. You know, let's go to the first day of creation, 3.5 hours after they're created. We know Adam and Chava sinned. Okay, the aftermath of that was Adam separated from his wife for the next 130 years. Right? He had Hevel and Cain were both born in Gan Eden. After that, after the 130 years, Shes was born. So what happened between those 130 years? Chazal tell us that there was 130 years where Adam said, I'm not going anywhere near Chava. What happened during that time? A demon named Lilith got a hold of Adam Rishon and was able to make him have something called Shazal, Shechva Zera Levatala. We're not going to translate that for obvious reasons, but Shechva Zera Levatala. Hundreds of thousands of neshamos were lost due to that Shechva Zera Levatala. Meaning Adam Rishon, because of that, was lost. There were thousands of neshamos that came from his body that just were gone, and were gone from him, and the Kedusha was lost throughout the entire world. And to find that Kedusha, they had to look inside, and they had to look behind the covers, behind the shells that were there, and find the Kedusha hidden under a rock, or look underneath this place over here. They had to go through, and you couldn't really find it. And to put it in human terms, deep down inside the person was a good Yiddish neshama. But they couldn't find it.
This happened because he separated.
When Adam Rishon had this Shechva Zera Levatala, it's kilu he gave a neshama to those demons. He had each drop of Shechva Zera is another person, and for him to do this caused thousands of neshamas to just be lost, just be thrown throughout the world as if given over to the other side, to the side of Tuma.
I'm asking, what was the cause? Because he separated from Chava, or was
because of the Shechva Zera Levatala? The separation caused this to happen, and that Shechva Zera Levatala is what caused that tumor to go throughout the world. Okay, how do we fix that? So the way to fix it is through a Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, or doing something that has to do with God to any of those sparks, any of those neshamos that are throughout the world. And by doing that, you can bring about Kedusha or take the Kedusha away from somebody and keep it for yourself. That's what you normally do. That's why in Gullus, when we're in exile, we're spread throughout the entire world because these neshamos went everywhere. So our job in this world is to be able to find those neshamos no matter where they are. If they're in China, South Africa, Australia, South America, anywhere, we have to go in every single place throughout the world to go find that Kedusha, to go find that Tahara, and bring it back for us. And when we finish up and we do all that, the point of Gullus is to get all that for ourselves, to daven in these areas, to do everything in these areas. By doing that, we'll bring the Kedusha back to ourselves, and that's when Mashiach comes. Because that's when Bnei Yisrael will have all the Kedusha together, and everything good will happen. Now, we have to understand how that happened back in Mitzrayim. After Adam, there were great men who lived, who had the ability to fix up everything in the world, who had the ability to bring about Mashiach. Who were they? Dor Enosh was number one. Enosh was the grandson of Adam Rishon. His whole generation were made up of great souls who could bring back all the bad souls, all the souls that were lost. That's number one. Dor HaMabul was the second. The people who lived at the time of the Mabul had the ability to be able to fix up everything and nothing bad would have been. Dor HaFlaga, the generation of the Tower of Babel, had the ability to bring everything back. Obviously, they all messed it up. And not only messed it up, they messed it up badly. They messed it up beyond anything that they could imagine. They messed up themselves because of it. They didn't run to Tahara, to Kedusha. They ran to Tuma. They went the exact opposite direction. They were attracted by something. They had to be extremists. They had to do something in the extreme. Instead of being an extremely tahor guy, they became extremely tamei men. That's what ended up happening. They became absolutely terrible. They messed it up, and they made the whole world worse because of it. Yosef HaTzadik knew that the purpose of Gullus by Yaakov Avinu the purpose of why Yaakov Avinu had to go into Gullus was for him to be able to get all the Kedusha of the world and bring it back. But what would they have to do? They'd have to go throughout the entire world to get that Kedusha and bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what they'd have to do. So Yosef did a very smart thing. What did he do? He became the king of Mitzrayim, and this HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously behind everything, being the king of Mitzrayim, and told everyone, you have to come to me in order to get food. And there was a famine throughout the whole world. So every person came and met Yosef. And they gave him money, and he gave them food. And when they gave him money, Yosef would look at them and take away their Kedusha and leave it in the money of Mitzrayim. So when Bnei Yisrael would leave, they would take this money with them, the rechush that they would get in Mitzrayim, the money that they would have. And within that money is all the Kedusha of all the nations of the world. And thus Bnei Yisrael would be zocha to go to Eretz Yisrael, build up the base of Mikdash, Mashiach would come, and everything would be fine. The only problem was the Egel Azov. The Egel Azov. When they did the Egel Azov, they lost all those neshamos again. And then there was a chiyuv to have another galus. There was another reason to have a brand new galus that was there. But if not for the Egel Azov, everything would have been fine. And even though there were doros, generations of people that messed up, Dor HaFlaga, Dor HaMabul, even Sdom was involved in this, and Dor Enosh, they needed a tikkun themselves. So who'd they become? Take a guess. Bnei Yisrael. They became Bnei Yisrael. All those neshamos, Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, Dor Enosh, and even Dor Stone to an extent. All these people became Bnei Yisrael. That's why Bnei Yisrael had to have a ton of Pru Revu. That what the pasuk says is that when they got up there, Paru, Vayishritzu, Vayirbu, Vayatmu, Bimod Mod, Vatimoi Aretosam. The whole world was filled with them. The pshat is, says the Chidah, the world was filled with them. They were filled, they filled up the entire world, and they kept messing up. This generation messed up, then that generation messed up, then that generation messed up. So they got brought back into Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael had to fix up all these neshamas, so they had to have hundreds of thousands of millions of Jews. And each one of them was there. And what did they have to do? They did Libun and Avodah Kasha. They had Libun, they had all these things. Lamana Noso Besivlo, some, just look at this pasuk. Basimo Lov Sari Misim, they put upon them officers of taxes, Lamana Noso Besivlo, some, in order to afflict them in their travails. By even they built protective cities for Paro as Piso Mes Ramses. Throughout that parsh, throughout the whole pasuk is the letters Samach Mem. Why Samach Mem, Benji? Sam Kel is the name of the Satan. Sam Kel, the poison of God. Throughout the whole part, look at this pasuk. Bayasimu, it's a sin mem, but a sin and a samach are interchanged. That's samach mem. Sorry, misim is samach mem in the beginning of misim. Sivlo sam is samach mem. Ori miskros mem samach. Piso mem Ramses is mem and samach at the end of the words. So all over the place, because the whole thing was the Satan was in charge, and that's what, you know what the point behind all that stuff was. What the avoda was? The avoda was to stop a person from having taivas and olamazeh. Because if you're working so hard, you can't do anything bad. If you're working like a dog all day long, from morning until night, you can't sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an ability to fix up all the sins that they did. Those people were very into taivas. Dor HaMabul was very into Gilui Arayos. Dor Enosh was very into Avodah Zarah. We're going to speak about this, but Dor HaFlaga was very into Shlichus Damim. They were all into those three things. They were very into those taivas. They were into doing things in this world, allowing themselves any pleasure that they could possibly get out of this world. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure you wouldn't have any taivas at all. You would work hard. But what happened? They started getting into it. Oh, and by the way, that's all shot. What did they do with the kids? They threw them into the river. Why? Because that's what happened to Dor Enosh and Dor HaMabul. They threw them into the Dor HaKainis came, and the Mabul came for, obviously, the Dor HaMabul, and the HaKainis came and drowned half the people out. There were all those things that happened. And also, what did Migdal Bavel do? It was Kol Avodah Sal Masher Avadu. For all the Avodah that they did, that's the remnant to Dor Migdal Bavel, that they did so much work building up that tower, that was the fix up. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mishiseyu Minamayim, pulling them out of the water. You know what the pshat is? Pulling out the Tumah from the Tara, pulling them out of the Tumah and into Tara. Now that's the pshat behind the Mialdos. You ever think to yourself, what in the world do they have birthing agents? And Paro goes up to them and says to them, you guys have to go kill all the babies in Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine after the first baby, do you think anybody's going to have these Mialdos ever again? After the first baby gets killed, can you imagine the rumors? Don't go near them, they just killed my baby. And then they do another one, and they're over too. And do you think they're ever going to be hired ever again? And plus, there's two Mialdos for the entire Mitzrayim. Just two. I mean, how many millions of Jews were there? And there were two Mialdos? What happened over here? What was he trying to get out of the Mialdos? This is from the Tefer Shlomo. This is a little crazy. The deal with the Mialdos and them giving them at the very end, that they gave them Mayim Umazon. Said Rashi, Mayim u'mozon, they give him water and food. What is that parnasa that he gave them? It's a chassidish shavuot. How many years were there until Moshe Rabbeinu was born? Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 when they left Mitzrayim. They were there for 210 years. 210 minus 80 is 130. Whoa, wait. 130. Adam and Chava. They separated for 130. You think there's a coincidence? I think there's a coincidence. 130 years. Chava's Gilgul was in Yocheved. Yocheved. Amram's Gilgul was Adam Arishon. Oh my gosh. Maybe there's a connection. She wanted to be metakin herself. So what was she? She became a miyaledes. She was maspik mayim umazon. And what that means is, it's not literal. It's a figurative. She davened and davened and davened for Klal Yisrael to be born. Paro, in his infinite ways of Tuma, was able to figure out who is the person who was causing Bnei Yisrael such miracles that they were having six people per birth. It was the Mialdos. It was Miriam, as well as Yocheved, that were able to daven and be able to bring about such things for Klal Yisrael. So he went to them and said, you better stop. You better stop doing it. You better kill them. To which they said, we don't get there. Kichayos heina. You want to hear the pshat behind Kichayos heina? Unbelievable pshat. What was Chava's name supposed to be? Anybody know? Anybody know why Chava was named Chava? What's the wording of the pasuk? Ki haisa aim kol chai. She's the mother of all life. So she's called Chava. Says the Gemara, she should be called Chaya. Call her Chaya. Why do you call her Chava? So the pshat is because she got hit by the snake. She got bit by the snake. The snake got a hold of her. And snake in Hebrew is chivya. In Aramaic, I'm sorry, is chivya. She was known as a combination of the two, as in Chava. So she was now called Chava because it wasn't only Aim Kol Chai. She also had the chivya inside her. But if you fix up Chava's sin, what are you called? You're called Chaya. Right? That's why Sarimenu, who fixed up a little bit of Chava's sin, was called Ko'es Chaya Ulasarabin. At this time next year, Sarah will have a child. It's called Chaya, because she now became Chaya. She became the real Chaya, now she had a child. And that's what Yocheved was saying. It's not me that's giving all this chos to Klal Yisrael. Ki Chayos Heina. They fixed the sin of Chava. What was the sin of Chava? What was the punishment that she got? Be'etzev Tel Dibanim. You're going to give birth to kids and it's going to be very, very hard. But if you fix up the sin of Chava, then what happens? You'll be fine. You'll give birth and you can pop them out like nothing. It'll be like pills. Just pop them out of a thing, just throw them around. They could give birth to six at a time and it didn't bother them. They have no problem. You see that it's not me that's doing it, Yocheved said. It's not me that's causing Bnei Yisrael to be paru by Yishuv by Yerub by Yatum by Mod Ma'od. It's Bnei Yisrael themselves. No, that wasn't true. That was a lie. It was Yocheved. Yocheved gave them the ability. But Yocheved was the one who said that that's true, and that's why paru couldn't do anything. What is he going to do? He had to kill all of Klal Yisrael. That's what he started to do. That's what he started to do with the children of Klal Yisrael, killing all the people of Klal Yisrael and allowing the Mitzrayim to try to get involved. That's the idea. You see how bad that Shechazor Levatola is? That's the Pshapian Shovavim. That's what happens during Shovavim. Shovavim starts Shmos Va'ira Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. The first letters are Shin Vav Beis Beis Yud Mem. That's Shovavim. The Pshapian Shovavim is these times. These times are the best times to be able to fix up that chait of Shazal Shechazor Levatola. Because the whole point of what happened with Shechazor Levatola is it caused us to go down to Mitzrayim. It caused us to have this tumah. It caused us to be in this situation where we were horrible. And the only way to get out of it was all this avoda and things to stop us from our taivas. Because the etzem taiva that we have is shechvas zera levatala. And the way to get rid of it is to work hard. To whiten yourself with work. To not have any time. And when you don't have any time and you exhaust yourself, you have no time for shechvas zera levatala. There's nothing there. There's no time for shiamum, for batala, for boredom to have that shechvas zera levatala. So let's think for a second. So how did Moshe change everything? What was Moshe over anything else? Now we realize how great he was. And by the way, Moshe, I think, was a Gilgul of Shes. Moshe Sheis Hevel is who he was from. That means that he was born after 130 years of Mitzrayim. So too, Sheis was born 130 years after Adam Rishon and Chava separated. It's 130 and 130. Notice, is Amram and Yocheved's name mentioned anywhere in the parsha?
No.
Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. It doesn't say anything about their names. It doesn't say anything about Amram and Yocheved. It doesn't say their names at all. I'm sorry?
They got divorced.
Because they got divorced. That's the whole, the drusha that come out with is that they got divorced and they got back together. So it could have been anybody and anybody from Sheva Levi. That's the divorce they come out with. So here we go. Levi means Levia im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning they get together with God. They have a connection with God. Why? You know what their connection with God was? They had every kavana l'shem Shemayim. time. I'm going to say something a little bit normally. When conception of a baby occurs, obviously there's taiva involved. They're not, I like using this word, I've used this word like three times this week. They're not altruistic. A-L-T-R-U-S-U-I-S-T-I-C. It's good. It's not like where they're doing it just for God and they're not thinking of themselves. Obviously there's taiva involved. Obviously, the man and the woman are getting together with their own taivas involved. They also have in mind that we're doing something for our Kaddish Baruch Hu, that we're creating a child and we want to have something inside. That means that the child innately has within him that taiva. The taiva is within him, and he's born with that taiva deep down inside. Born with it down inside. If you guys remember from Rav Schwab last week, that the child gets the kochos from the parents. That's what happens over here. He was born with that inside him. Yocheved and Amram were purely l'shem shamayim. They didn't have a tiny bit of taiva. There was nothing. All they were levia im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were getting together as if with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was truly ratzon Hashem. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is the gematria of ratzon. I know it's off by one.
And backwards.
No, it's off by one. But Tefarash Shlomo. Yeah, and Hashem. Oh, that's good. Ratzon Hashem. I didn't even think of that. That's a very good call. Very good. Very good. And that's Mina Mayim Mishiseyu. He was pulled from the water. That means he was pulled out of taivas. He's pulled out of the Gashmias and Olam Hazeh. He's pulled out from there. That's why he was named such a thing. Not because Bas Paro went and pulled him out of the water. Yes, she would call him a Hebrew name. It wasn't her. It was the name from Shemayim that was given over to him. There might have been another name over there. There might have been another name over there. But this is the name that we have. Such a person like Moshe Rabbeinu who had no taiva inside him, because Amram and Yocheved were so great that they had no ulterior motives. They couldn't even mention their names in the parsha. It was as if they weren't there. Such people could make a child that could live in Paro's house of pleasure for 20 years and not be affected by that pleasure. Can you imagine that? You're living in a house with kishuf she'en kamohu. You could get anything you wanted. All the pleasures in the world. These people were into everything. Gilia, raya, shvichos, damim, avodah zarah. They were into getting all the greatest things in the world, the greatest pleasures you can imagine. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in the palace. He could have gotten anything. How in the world did he survive? How in the world did he become the greatest Navi of all time? Because he had no taiva. He had no desire for anything. He had no desire to do anything wrong. No desire. The taiva wasn't there. That's the pshat behind it. He was still able to do that. He didn't get involved in the silliness that was there in the palace itself. Such a person is a perfect metakin for Klal Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael to be metakin the fact that they're into taivas, that they're into doing the frivolousness of the world. They're into all the gashmias of the world. So who do you need? Who's the guy that fixed that all up? Moshe Rabbeinu, who has nothing to do with frivolousness in this world, who has nothing to do with gashmias in this world, and can't do anything like that.
Why is he joking to that if the whole point of it is to overcome your tzara? If he doesn't have it, then
it's not, you're right. There's always yetzaharas that come up. But he had an innate ability to beat that yetzahara. Meaning he was born in a very, very strange place. It's not that he naturally would never ever do this stuff. I shouldn't say it that way. He could, he just was able to fight it stronger because he had Amram and Yocheved, his parents. And he can't ask that. Like, I can't ask why was I born from these parents while you were born from those parents. Can't ask that question. Moshe Rabbeinu, because of Amram and Yocheved, was born in such a situation where he didn't have taiva. There was just not enough taiva to be able to pull him down. It should have taken longer for Moshe to come around. Should have been 400 years.
Should have been. What do you mean he didn't have taiva? Why did he get married then?
Because he knew he had to, and there's a mitzvah. And Yisro was going to give him his daughter. He knew that there's a mitzvah in getting married. He knew there's a mitzvah in Puravu. But he was able to separate from his wife for 40 years in the desert. I don't think there's any person that could normally do that. He was able to do things that no other person was able to do. He was able to go 40 days and nights on Har Sinai without eating 3 times in a row. There's nobody else that can do that. He's beyond taiva. He's beyond physical pleasures. He's just beyond this world. There's nothing that Moshe Rabbeinu has. You cannot sit there and listen to a person say Moshe Rabbeinu, talk about Moshe Rabbeinu as if it's a human being. Oh, he gets angry. Oh, he gets upset. You know, he hates Klal Yisrael now. He argues with God. He is so beyond our rationale of what we can imagine a person to be like. There's nothing to talk about with Moshe Rabbeinu. A guy who can see God, Baspaku Ria Meira, as it's called, as if you're looking through a glass and seeing God behind the glass, is ridiculous. It's beyond the normal way. For a guy to ask God, can I see your face? Come on. You're going to ask that to God? Can I see your face? No. That's not at all. What are you even asking for? I don't even know what he's asking for. It's just... It could have, should have taken longer. Should have been 400 years. But Bnei Yisrael, we know, are on the 49th level of Tumah. They started at Taivas, and therefore they needed to be saved right now. For that, Moshe Rabbeinu had to prove it to them. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. He was going to go back to Mitzrayim, and he's going to say to them, guys, I'm ready to save you. I'm here to save you. I'm here. I'm ready to go. And what were they going to say? It's not time yet. When are we supposed to be saved? After 400 years. They all knew that.
It's got to be 400. Was that Moshe was scared too?
That's why Moshe was scared. That's why it took him 7 days to argue with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what signs will you give me? What can I tell Bnei Yisrael? What can I tell them? So you give them three signs. You know what the signs were?
Saras, the blood.
Oh, so the first one. First one was the mate. He threw it down to the ground and it became a snake. And then he picked it back up and became a staff again. Second one was put his hand inside his coat, came out, it was saras. Put it back inside, it became healed. Third one was he took the water, poured it on the ground, and it became blood. What were those three signs? What was the point of them? And why didn't the blood turn back into water? Unbelievable, no? The two other osios, they went back. But the water stayed as blood. What's pshat?
It was on the water zara of the...
Very good. It's almost there. Rav Schwab says, the Shem Yishmol says, Dor Enosh's big problem was Avodah Zarah. Dor Amabel's big problem was Gili Arayis. Dor Aflaga with the Migdal Bubble was Shvichus Zamin. Why Shvichus Zamin? Because they didn't care about human life. They were regardless of human life.
If a guy falls, it's okay, but if a brick falls...
If a brick falls, oy vey, what about the brick? But if a guy fell off the tower, they'd be like, okay, we got a lot more where they came from. Bricks, we can't get another brick up here. How are we going to get another brick up there? It's such a power. But they went to Shvichus Zamin, they were willing to murder. They were like the Chinese, only one child per household and kill all the other kids. Mamish was Shayim Gemurim She'in Kamum Ba'olam. Can you imagine that? Mass murder in an entire country. Mass murder. Oh, well, they're killing it in the womb. Shut up. They're mass murdering an entire country and nobody cares. It's just a power. All three had to do with this. The mate that turned into a snake, that's Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is because the Nachash was a kofar in God, and he was the first person to do something that was Zarah, and Avodah Shazara LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number one. Tzaras. The Tzaras stands for Gili Arayis, because the Benos Tzium, who were into Gili Arayis and were sleeping around, mentioned in Yeshaya, got Tzaras that sprouted out in their foreheads. So Tzaras is something that's there for Gili Arayis. And what we say is Mayim and Tadam is obviously for murder. Obviously for murder. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell them is, these sins have been fixed up. They've been fixed. There's a tikkun for them. In the 210 years, you guys worked so hard. You have a full tikkun for the three sins that you needed a tikkun for. You got everything done. Mostly. The hand became real. The snake became a staff again. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, you guys are good with. Shvichus Damim, a little bit needs to be saved. Because Shvichus Damim doesn't only include murder. It includes embarrassment, it includes Lashon Hara, it includes a lot of other things that are equal to Shvichus Damim, and that was not completely fixed up yet.
Is Lashon Hara like incorporated
Sarasta? 100%. Lashon Hara can be, and I know that's what people normally say. The Shem Yishmol's board, and I didn't see the whole thing, because it's a huge piece. So I don't want to go into those details, but regarding this, I will still go with this and say that, to show them that a tikkun is still going to be needed later. You're right. We are going to need a little bit of a tikkun, but that's the point of the osis, to show them that we can leave now, and those people that need it will die in the Midbar. Or they'll die during the Makos of Choshen.
And they killed
four-fifths of them. And they killed Khor. That's the whole pshat. So nowadays, what do we do nowadays? What's our Golos all about? Says Rav Wolfson. I've heard this before. I'm telling you guys, this is unbelievable. The Egel brought back Shvichus Damim Avodah Zarah Gili Arayis. That's what the Kli Yakar says. The Egel brought it all back. The whole thing was brought back, and everything, the tikkun was in full. They weren't going to die. They weren't going to be sick. They weren't going to have anything wrong with them. Nothing was going to be wrong with them. They weren't going to die. Nothing. But the Ego Azov brought everything back. And now they can die. Now they have these sins that they have to be metakin. All the neshamas left them again, and they have to go search for them throughout the entire world. Therefore, we have to be metakin it again and again by Mekabetz Nidche Amo Yisrael. The Nidche Amo Yisrael are the parts of our souls that are still missing that are throughout the whole world. We have to be in China, in South Africa, in South America, all over the place in order to save these out. You go to Hawaii, you better have Kavana when you're making those brachos. Because you're doing it for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm not saying it's mutter to go to Hawaii. If you go to Russia, you got to go ahead and have that in mind. Why do you think people were sent to Siberia? People are sent all over the place for this reason, simply put, to make brachos, to make a Kiddush Hashem, for these the tikkunim to be there. So listen to this. My Rosh Yeshiva used to always say this parsha, Mamish. I heard it 7 years in a row in Beis Yisrael. 7 years in a row I heard it. The eighth year I just couldn't go. The eighth year. Vayamaruru. You ready for this? Medrash says, it says Vayimaru, somewhere's the wording over here. Vayimaru is chayem ba'avodah kasha, they made their lives bitter with hard work. You can say this on Pesach as well. Bechomer ubelvenim, with mortar and with bricks. Ubechol avodah basada, he's called avodah samashadu ben befarech. You ready? He said, Vayimaru or marmar. Ba'avodah kasha, bekushios. Bechomer, bekal vechomer. Bilvenim, beliban halacha. Beforech, bepirchos. That's what the Medrash says. I think we all know what those things are. Kalachomers, pirchos, kushas. Maybe we haven't learned enough to really realize it. But Omar Maris, I think we really know what that is. What's pshat? Pshat is that nowadays the avodah is not through hard work. The avodah is not through hard work. Nowadays, it's through learning Torah. By being mevarer the Torah, by clarifying what the Torah means, and by learning not just the halacha, and be like, oh, it's us here. It's not a girl. To sit there and to be mevarer the halacha through Ian, through some type of Ian, in some way, shape, or form, to argue the point, to sweat it out, to do the avoda instead of working for it, to do that avoda in a different way of learning. If it has to be a half an hour a week, it's a half an hour a week. If it could be an hour a day, an hour a day. Whatever you have, to use that time to argue the point. You know what we got into an argument about today? How long is a football field in comparison to a city block? You realize there's two football fields in one city block? And more, an extra. One city block. I'm sitting there like, no, can't be. You go in. Because that, if you see a donkey that's falling down from its burden about a city block away, you don't have to go help it. It has to be about a football half, it's about 560 feet. If you see it within that, you don't have to help it. It's called a ris away. So you got to scream it out. Somebody says, yes, it is. No, it isn't. You're arguing about a football field. Yeah. But that's what brings about Mashiach. That's what gets the avoda that you do and the sweat that you have when you argue these points and you scream them out loud. That's what brings in the Kiddush and knocks out the Tumah. Because when you're arguing, and anyone can tell you this, if you're arguing, you're arguing for a good thing, not about a bad thing. Like, who starred last night in, I don't know, what's a good TV show that's on Wednesday nights? Anybody?
None of us watch TV, so we wouldn't.
Baruch Hashem! Okay, that's much better.
What's the real?
Either way, so whatever it is, let's just use The Simpsons because it's the only TV show that I still know, and I know it's still on the air. So that, like, let's say, argue about who's the guest star in The Simpsons last time. That's not a good argument. If you argue about Torah, if you argue about something that has to do with learning in any way, shape, or form, and you sweat it out, it's as if you just made huge amounts of bricks. And you know what happens? You have no taiva. You have no taiva because the only thing that's in your mind is that argument. Nobody can argue a point of something and start thinking in the back of his mind, oh, I got to get milk later. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Nobody can start arguing, really get into a point and start thinking, I better clean this plate up. You don't do that. If you're into an argument, you argue. You get into it. And don't tell this, well, girls know how to... Girls don't know how to argue. Girls don't know how to learn. We're not getting into that at all. We'll do that a little bit later. But that's not for now. It's for us to be able to do it, to clarify. The men worked in Mitzrayim, not the woman. I know there's a measure that the woman did the men's work and the men did the woman's work. That's provenders. That's not for us. That's a measure for them, but that's not for what we're doing over here. The Kiddusha knocks out the Tumah, and that's the shot behind our scene. Guys, think about this. B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim was on the 49th level of Tumah. So what are we on? You think we're better than them? Think we're on level 48? Think we're on level 49 and a third? They were right before the 50th level of Tumah. So what are we on? You want to hear a massive Chiddush of the Or HaChaim? Or HaChaim says, we're beyond the 50th level. We're on like 194,642nd level of Tumah. But how are we going to get out?
Random
beyond
number.
The 50th level. No, I know. That's what he says. The 50th level, how are we going to get out? You know what the pshat is? Before we got the Torah, if we are on the 49th level, if we got to the 50th level, we wouldn't be able to get ourselves out. Without the Torah, there was no way to get ourselves out. The only way to get ourselves out of the 49th level of Tumah is by working hard enough that eventually we'd pull ourselves out. That was the only way to do it. Once you get the Torah, listen to Zohar Chaim. Once they got the Torah, they'd be able to pull themselves out even out of further than the 50th level of Tumah because they have the Torah. You can get yourselves out from the worst level possible only through Torah. It's that a crazy pshat? From the Or Chaim, Rav Wolfson quotes it.
That's a bad thing. Why? Now you're going to think, oh, it's okay, I can fall over because I'll be able to still get out.
I don't think anybody thinks that they really are going to learn Torah to be able to pull themselves out of Tumah that much. I don't think anybody's
like
out there saying
it's like sitting to say I could get me for a given on Yom Kippur.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that as well, and there's no way. But guys, do you understand? What did Moshe Rabbeinu ask Paro for? What did he go up to Paro the first time? What did he ask Paro for? Anybody remember? What did he say to Paro?
Let my people go.
That's not what he said.
That's in the word.
What?
That's in the word.
No.
Or the desert.
First one up.
He's
what? Go to the desert for 3 days. Not forever. 3 days. And what were they going to do there? A chag. They're going to make a chag. What chag?
Shavuos.
They were going to get the Torah, and they were going to go right back to Mitzrayim and fill up the next 190 years. They needed to get out before they hit the 50th level so they could get the Torah. They would get the Torah, go back, and then they could go further than the 50th level. They weren't lying. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't lying. He said, we're going to go back. We have no reason not to go back. We'll have the Torah, we'll come right back. We'll have the Chag, and we'll come right back. It's unbelievable. And what were they going to do? They were going to learn. The Levim were going to be able to sit and learn Torah. They were going to sit and learn Torah, and by doing that, they'd be able to pull them out from the Tumah of Mitzrayim. That's what they're going to be able to do. Hold on 1 second. And that's the pshat, that they bring themselves out 190 years later by themselves. Nobody else would help them. Nobody else would bring them out. They would be able to bring themselves out by themselves. They wouldn't need anything else. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to give them the Torah and then die in Mitzrayim, along with everybody else. But at the end of the day, the Mitzrayim didn't deserve to have B'nai Yisrael. When they got the 10 Makos, and only then did they send out B'nai Yisrael, then Hashem said, they don't deserve to go back to you. They deserve to have another 190 years of Golos. And I'll spread that out and give them Golos Edom, and Golos Bavel, and Golos Yavon, and Golos Madai. That I'll give them. But they don't deserve to go back to Mitzrayim. But they need that 190 years. And 190 years to them is our 2,000 years in Golos Edom. Our 2,000 years in Golos Edom. That's the pshat behind what we're doing now. That's the pshat. But the way to get out of it is learning Gemara. Learning Chumash. Learning anything that's out there. And if you don't do that, we won't be able to get ourselves out because we're on the 50th level of Tumah. Yeah, Ben. Couldn't be beyond.
Why didn't Hashem just bring Har Sinai to Mitzrayim?
Couldn't get in a line of Tumah. Already thought of, was supposed to be there. Couldn't get in a line of Tumah. They had to go to a place like Har Sinai. That's out there. I'm going to do one more word. This is an absolutely unbelievable word. This is a word you have to say for Shabbos. And it connects with absolutely everything that we've been saying up until now with the Egel Azav. It's just unreal. Unreal. Hashem got angry at Moshe after those 7 days. Got angry. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe. And finally he said to him, let me find the pasuk. I'm sorry. He said, hey, lo yaminu li. They're not going to believe me. He says it again and again and again. Okay, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. It's in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. God got angry at Moshe. Vayomer, hello, Aaron Achicha HaLevi. Yadati Gidaber Yadaberhu. I know Aaron Achicha. I know Aaron, your brother. He's the Levi. He'll speak instead of you. You ready for the word of the century? Literally the word of the century. It's such an unreal word. So what happened at this point? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, way to stop in right now, Av. So what happened right now? Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, and Aaron was supposed to be the Levi, right? But because Moshe Rabbeinu kept saying, what about Aaron? What about Aaron? What about Aaron? Aaron became the Hashem said, Mida Kenegem Ida, you lost the Kuna Gedola, and instead, who's going to get the Kuna Gedola? Aaron, and you're going to be a Levi. He should have been HaLevi, but now he's the Kohen Gadol. So Rav Schwab asked three strong questions. Number one, why was Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to be the Kohen Gadol? The Melech, yeah. The Navi, yeah. The Moshiach, yeah. The Kohen Gadol? What's the Sheikhs? Why the Kohen Gadol? That's number one. Number two, why was it wrong for him to want his brother to be the Kohen Gadol? What's wrong about that? He made a good taina. My brother's been the Navi for Bnei Yisrael since Amram died. Why shouldn't Aaron be the Kohen Gadol? Why shouldn't Aaron be the leader? That's number two. Number three, whenever it says, according to the Rambam, whenever it says the word Charon Af in the Torah, it refers to Avodah Zarah. Charon Af always refers to Avodah Zarah. Vayichar Af Hashem, the Ramban asks on him. Vayichar Af Hashem! God's not doing Avodah Zarah. What's the Avodah Zarah over here? Listen to this answer from Rav Schwab. Unreal. What was Aaron's Mida? We know Avram is Chesed, and Yitzchak is Gvura, and Yaakov, you knew, is I guess you could say Torah, Emes, whatever it is, Tiferet, what they call it, right? Aaron is Shalom. Aaron is Shalom. What's Moshe Rabbeinu?
Rachamim.
Not another. Not Rachamim.
Oh, he's
Moshe Emes Vesorosoye Emes Moshe Emes Moshe Emes Vesorosoye. It's Emes. It's Emes. Yaakov, you know, I know has a bit of Emes. He's Tiferet more than anything else, but he has Emes. Moshe Rabbeinu is Emes. Aaron is Shalom, and Moshe Rabbeinu is Emes. Now, they were brothers, right? So Moshe and Aaron being together, and they were brothers, and they kissed each other when they first met, means Emes and Shalom go together. Emes and Shalom are friendly with one another, and by putting Emes and Shalom together, they could save Klal Yisrael. But there are times where Emes goes up against Shalom, and they fight each other. Can I give you a situation? Your relatives are making a barbecue, and the barbecue is not kosher. Your cousin is marrying a non-Jew. Alt Emes, also to go. Also to eat, also to go anywhere near. Alt Shalom, you gotta do it. What are you gonna do? Emes is going up against Shalom.
Or wine is under.
So what wins? What wins? Emes or Shalom? Emes. Emes wins. It's gonna be Emes. Emes should always beat Shalom. The Torah is Emes. The Shalom, okay, no. You guys are doing something wrong. There's nothing I can do about that. Emes beats Shalom. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu should always beat Aaron HaKohen. Always beat Aaron HaKohen. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Kohen Gadol, and Aaron should be the lady. He's Malave Moshe Rabbeinu. But where there's a time where Shalom goes up against Emes, all Aaron can do is say, all right, Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever you want, that'll be. Shalom has to bend down, bend over backwards, over to the Emes of Moshe Rabbeinu. But when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, you should be the Kohen Gadol. What's the MS? The MS is, you got to be the Kohen Gadol, Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the Shalom? Let Aaron, he's my older brother. Let my family member. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, say that Shalom is greater than MS. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, then fine. Shalom beats MS. And Aaron's going to be the Kohen Gadol, and then Shalom's going to be the Iker. That means that Shalom bias sometimes trumps MS. Sometimes that can lie for Shalom bias. Because Aaron HaKohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol. While Moshe Rabbeinu lowered himself over. You know what the purpose of all that was? So when something comes up, and Emes versus Shalom, you got to let it happen. Hold on a second. I don't know what to do with that story that we just had. You know, the maisa that we had is obviously sometimes Emes still beats Shalom.
Like tomorrow, the extreme. About the wedding. What do you do if the bride is
ugly? Very, very good. And Beis Shammai says, Beis Hillel says, you should lie. You should lie and say she's very pretty. And Beis Shammai says, but she's ugly. Say that she's ugly. Say that she's ugly. Say it straight out. Shammai's going over the Emes. A very, very good Gemara. You ready for this? So now, when you're going to have a situation later on in Klal Yisrael, where in order to make peace, you got to do something, but Emes is telling you differently, Aaron wins, and Shalom trumps it, right? Ego Azov. B'nai Yisrael, in order to save B'nai Yisrael, Aaron has to make peace by making the Ego Azov. Even though Emes was saying, don't do it. That's the Avodah Zarah. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, is Moshe Rabbeinu, what you just did is caused the Avodah Zarah to come to Klal Yisrael. You just caused the ability for Aaron to choose himself over you, and thus B'nai Yisrael are going to sin with the Ego Azov. And that's the Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. That's the Avodah Zarah. That is by far one of the strongest words I've ever heard before in my life. In my life. That is a strong board, but that's a shot. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu got so angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Schwab. Off Rav Schwab. What does it do with the Kohen Gadol? It has to do with leadership. Who's the leadership role? Who's the one that's the ikar regarding Shemayim? And the Kohen Gadol beats a melech. Not regarding kavod down here on earth, but regarding who's makar the korban, a melech can never serve in the base of Mikdash. The Kohen Gadol beats the melech. It should have been that the Kohen Gadol is the melech. And that was switched around. That's what happens. That Emes and Shalom don't always work together, and Shalom trumps the Emes. It's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable word. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos.
He says that.
Oh, wait. Very.